But first, we're talking to Vutran this morning. So what sort of a scenario are we living in at the moment? We've got staff you'd never see. You've got emails flying around at all times of day, meetings on a screen. This is the new world of staff and team management for small business. And if you haven't nailed time tracking, online comms and screen sharing, you might have just had a very steep learning curve in the past few months. So now we're faced with this new normal becoming a long-term reality. For some of us, it's new, but for tech-savvy companies out there who are used to rapid growth, remote staff and everything being online, it is basically business as usual. So what we can learn from these experts? Well, for starters, a workplace culture that evolves, hiring for values and not creating a monoculture and crystal clear comms are the key. Vutran joins me today. He's the co-founder of GeoOne, a successful and fast-growing tech company specialising in training software, with an interesting journey of his own to share. Welcome to the show, Vu.
Thank you very much for having me.
I can hear you loud and clear. So thank you so much for joining us. You're up in Brisbane today. I hope the weather's a bit better than it is down here in Sydney.
Can I just say it's stunning. It's a stunning 22 degrees, crystal clear blue skies. We could even go to the beach if we wanted today.
And you know what? Yeah, well, the lovely thing is here in New South Wales, we can join you at that beach, but unfortunately not today. I've got to be here in the studio.
Fair enough.
So let's talk about what it is that that you guys do, firstly. Give us a little bit of an intro and talk to me about how strong organisational culture has been so important in your journey.
Yeah, so just to give you a bit of background, you know, I'm going to give you the typical startup pitch. Think of us as the Netflix or Spotify for workplace learning. We provide companies with training on everything from compliance all the way through to professional development, all in an online format. So what we've been doing, you know, over the last few years since we started is incredibly relevant in a sort of a COVID-19 world, because we've seen the acceleration of the growth of our business quite significantly over that, over this sort of point in time. I think you mentioned it in your introduction before, and I couldn't have said it better myself, in terms of that acceleration of adoption of technology. You know, we've had people who have come to us who have never thought of online learning before and go, actually, I need it because it's the only way I'm going to be able to continue what I'm trying to do in my business. But for us, even though we are what you'd typically call a tech company, we face similar challenges to every single other businesses that, that has had to adapt to a COVID-19 world. And there's actually been some really basic principles and learnings that we've come out of it, regardless of whether or not you're a tech company. And I think you touched on it around culture and people. At the end of the day, it's not technology that allows our company to succeed. It's people. It's the people, you know, that are behind supporting our customers, that are writing the code for our programs, or that are working with our partners. So at the end of the day, working our way through COVID-19, and it is the first real sort of, you know, large-scale crisis that we've had to deal with probably ever before, and I think for most people have had to deal with at this sort of scale, we've had similar problems to a lot of other people around how do we engage with our staff, how do we keep them engaged, how do we make sure that we're connected with them. And for me, technology isn't the silver bullet. You know, we've had to use technology as a means to augment some of the communication we've had, in terms of using chat, using Zoom meetings and Microsoft Teams and all these different tools you've heard thrown left, right and center. But ultimately, they're the how, they're not the why. And if you think about the why, it's around the communication side of things, as you said before. And that communication is integral in terms of trying to grow, or in our case, just to be able to maintain company culture in this period of time.
And when we were chatting in our prep, I really loved the fact that you, I guess you focused your conversation in and around culture. Now, that's a word that is bandied around a lot, particularly when we're hiring and firing and what sort of team that we want to build. But what do you believe the word culture means to small business?
I can't agree with you more in terms of the fact that, you know, everyone talks about, you know, this eats culture, or culture is the foundation of our business, et cetera. And there's a million and one cliches that I can throw out at you. But if I kind of just take a step back, I started this company with my best mates. We still run the company today. We've gone from three people in a basement to a company of over 300 people across 10 offices across the world. Culture is incredibly important to us, but it's actually more about what underpins culture. So I'd start really simply, and we've got a personal belief that culture is something that evolves in an organization. From when we were three people in a basement to a company now with large offices all over the place, the culture has evolved, and it's had to evolve. It's had to evolve to be able to keep up pace with a changing world. It's had to evolve for us to become the company we are today. Mm. And it's going to need to continue to evolve to become the company we want to be. But what has underpinned that culture is actually our values. our values have not changed since we were, you know, three dudes in a basement, not knowing what we wanted to do, to what we do today. And so I look at two things. I think that values need to underpin a growing culture, no matter what you do and where you work. And then as a result of that, when you try and hire people and grow teams, because inevitably a lot of our teams will grow, whether we, regardless of what industry we're in, it's important to hire people who share the same values as you, but may not necessarily fit into your culture. And that's where my second point is to really think about hiring people not based on cultural fit, because if your culture is going to evolve, if you hire people for cultural fit, you'll end up with a monoculture. I prefer to talk to people about hiring for cultural contribution. How do you help enhance my culture as a business? And it's something that I talk to all of our managers, our hiring managers, our HR staff as we grow. It's going, I don't want someone who's going to fit into our organization today. I want someone who can help grow our organization to what I want it to be.
Could I ask you, you mentioned HR consultants, and this is a really tricky advisor role for small business, I think. And we all understand when we begin the importance of having financial advisors, accountants and bookkeepers on our side that really know and understand our business. At what point in the growth of a small business do you think it's important to engage with an HR, either consultant or bring them on staff?
I think sooner than you think it is. And I don't think there's a number of going at four staff, you should be thinking about it. If you're thinking about it, you should probably should have done it last week or last month or last year. And I'm being a bit facetious when I say that, but I put it to you this way. Okay. We were just talking about how important culture is, right? Culture is a byproduct of the people that you bring into your organization. We talked about values and how values are actually one of the key things that underpin the people that you bring into the organization. And so if you think about the people who actually do, who actually make sure that they're maintained and make sure that the people on board are right, HR is incredibly important. So rather than say, when do you bring in on board a HR specialist? I'd think about it the other way around. I'd think about it from the perspective of you should have a focus on HR as a founder or as a small business owner right from the start. And like every other role, whether it be finance, accounting, or anything like that, there'll be a certain point where you know it's time to outsource that, to take that off your plate so you can focus on the things that other people can't do. And for every business, that's going to be different. But for me, I think, you know, in terms of those core pillars of what you need to be able to run a business or need to learn to be able to run a business, you can't underestimate the power of HR, because critical hires are very, very important and fatal hires are terrible.
Fatal hires. I love that expression. That's great. But what's the difference between getting someone on board as HR because you've got compliance issues and bringing someone on because you're trying to grow a team? How do you brief someone to explain that that's what you're trying to achieve?
That is such a good point. The first person we hired was not from a compliance point of view. We hired them as a recruiter. And that's really important. So when we said that your focus is on recruitment, and you know, Sandra still runs our HR team today, we said, Sandra, you're here to help grow our team, not just in terms of numbers, but in terms of that culture and those values as well. So as a result of that, giving the focus on bring me great people and help my people succeed is the first step. In terms of making us compliant as an organization from a typical sort of HR, you know, OH&S point of view, it's something that I actually wanted to keep off their plate until they got that right, because that was one of the things to me that I could handle as a founder that doesn't necessarily need to scale, if that makes sense. Whereas you need to be able to scale the people side of a business a lot of the time. Mm. So for me, we actually added the compliance, we took the compliance component off our plates as founders or as business owners after we took the people perspective off our plate. And we found that that order was really, really important in making sure we could grow faster.
I really like that, because you can get so bogged down in compliance and making sure that you're doing everything correctly that that can completely consume any growth potential that you've got.
Compliance is not a force multiplier. Recruitment is, and that's all I'd throw it out there, right? Mm. Just because you're 100 times more compliant doesn't mean you'll be 100 times a better business. But if you're 100, you know, but if you've got really, really great recruitment, if you're bringing on really great people, your business could grow exponentially.
Let's talk now about communication. So obviously you've got a larger staff base, and I think that those issues are not dissimilar, because you've got people in overseas anyway, not dissimilar to remaining connected in this remote working world. So what sort of advice would you give to small businesses who are trying to keep connected in relation to communication with their staff?
So I may not be in a position to give advice because we're learning on the fly. So what I'm telling you is more so from real world experience rather than having been there, done that. Mm-hmm. I think regardless of what platform you use, whether you use SMS, whether you use Zoom, whether you use Slack, whatever it might be, it's more about maintaining more communication when you're not physically there with people. Mm-hmm. So what I'd come back to is that whatever platform you use, whatever means you use to communicate, it doesn't really matter. Just do more of it during these times of uncertainty and during these times where you're not physically going to see people. If I can share with you my biggest fear when it comes to communication is actually around the fact that there are a whole bunch of those water cooler conversations that aren't happening today that were happening pre-COVID. And those conversations are incredibly important to both our organization and to the people who are in it. And so for me, it's going, how do I facilitate that? By whether or not it's giving people the chance to connect and talk one-on-one through chat or whatever it might be and encouraging them to do that. But the second part of it is, how do I make sure that they can see me and they're talking to me and my co-founders more than ever before? So what we did throughout the, I guess, the height of the COVID-19 issues that we were facing, you know, back in sort of March, April, May, was we actually increased our communication several fold. We held several all hands meetings a month where we got everyone together and gave them in different time zones the opportunity to sit down and ask questions.
Could I just ask, is that your team leaders or is that literally everyone?
Everybody.
What? 300 people on a call?
Across three different time zones. So, you know, and that's what we had to do. It was about 100 people on the call.
And how do you manage that in terms of enabling everybody to have that moment of putting their hand up?
You create a safe environment for people to ask questions and you give them the opportunity to ask questions afterwards. I think an all hands meeting is not about giving people their one shot to ask a question. Mm-hmm. It's about showing them that as leaders, we're open to answering questions, whether it be there live on a call in front of 100 other people or afterwards when they can reach out to us directly and send us a message. I think it's more about that openness to receive communication.
And that's a really good point you're making there, is it's that accessibility as founders, because I guess as the company grows, you become more and more removed from your staff and you rely on team leaders to have those touch points. So you saying that people may not necessarily have to save up their questions for the founders because you're always available to them no matter who the staff member is. How do you allocate time for that?
So in an ideal world, yes, but the reality of it is that there'll be always be people who I've never met in our organization who won't want to ask me a question because they don't know who I am. So all I can do is make myself as approachable as possible. Mm. In terms of how we allocate time for that, we have to put aside time for our people regardless. You know, people is what who make our company sort of grow. So we need to make ourselves available to them. You just got to make it work.
So you mentioned those incidental engagements that are a worry because you feel that that's an opportunity for people to build relationships and that's just not happening. Can you give me some practical kind of strategies that you would implement to enable those water cooler chats to keep happening?
It's a very sort of tech thing to do, but I'll say this. Every morning in my team personally, where I've got a few reports of me, we run a stand-up. So a stand-up meeting where we get together, it's 15 minutes, you know, we just talk and talk about where we're at, what we're doing. That stand-up has evolved during COVID for me to actually do a bit of a pulse check on everyone, go, look, red, yellow, green, where are you at? Are you red in that you're kind of struggling to stay afloat, or are you green and you're happy? And you don't have to tell me why, but that in itself may spur the conversation for your workmate to say, hey, Alexi, why are you a bit red today? Can I help with anything? What's going on? So for me, it's more about just having that openness and that opportunity to communicate. I don't think you can force people to communicate because some people naturally won't feel comfortable with it. I think it's about giving everyone the opportunity to, not just with me as a leader, but with each other as well.
Mm. We're going to take a break here on Triple H 100.1 FM. And when we return, we're going to speak more with Vu Tran about perhaps how to deal with issues now that you're not getting that face-to-face communications with your staff and perhaps how to help them through their anxieties around working from home and remote working. You're listening to Triple H 100.1 FM. We'll be back after this. So today we're talking to Vu Tran, who is the founder of Go One, and he's talking to us today about what it's like to have a fast-paced, growing tech company and how to deal with an entire workforce which is remote. Now, by the sounds of it, Vu, you've been dealing with almost an entirely remote workforce for quite a long time, but there's elements that are missing. Before the break, you were talking about those water cooler moments with your staff that just aren't happening and the potential connections that seem to be missing in this COVID world. So as well as fostering connections online through being accessible yourselves and also, enabling chat and things happening in the background. How do you keep on top of your staff's anxiety? How do you maintain that level of care when you can't be in the same room as them?
I'm so glad you touched on anxiety. I think, you know, if we just look at society in general right now, no matter where you are, anxiety is increasing significantly. This is where I'm going to drop the fact that in another life, my background is as a GP. And so as a general practitioner, I see lots and lots and lots of anxiety all over the place and with new patients coming in every day around the same sort of thing. One of the things for me is a key driver for anxiety is uncertainty. Right, a lack of control. And if you think about everything that's going on right now with COVID-19, if you're in Victoria, you know, our thoughts are with you. I think one of the biggest challenges is that uncertainty is one of the key drivers of people feeling anxious. Mm. So as an employer, you know, my biggest tip and the thing that I try and do the best as I can do is actually give my employees some form of certainty. Give them a sense of control around what they're doing. Give them a sense of routine around what they're doing. Because I think it's one thing to say, hey, look, how are you going? It's another thing to actually say, what can we help do about it? But even though I've said, look, you know, we need to do things like give employees a sense of certainty, not just in terms of, say, job security or things that you might not be able to control, but even in terms of a sense of routine. Because routine is one of the things that you can try and control in a world that is difficult to kind of know where things are going, you know, whether it be making sure that you're getting up at the same time, making sure you're getting out the door doing something. And so for me, at the end of the day with my team, it's about going something as simple as that stand-up that I mentioned we do at the start of the day. By making sure that we do that at the exact same time every day, what that does is it anchors my day, but it also helps anchor the staff's day. And that helps deal with some of the anxiety. The other thing I'd come back to, and I mentioned it earlier on, was asking people how they are is incredibly important. I'm a massive fan of Are You Okay Day and the work that they do. But Are You Okay Day should also be every single day. Mm. Whether we're leaders or whether we're peers and teammates, we should always be looking to ask our, you know, people around us, are you okay? How are you going? And as I said, it's not about them saying, oh, look, I'm really struggling. It's about letting them know that there's an opportunity there to talk to you if there is something they want to talk about.
And obviously they're not going to be talking necessarily to you because you're the founder. Although if you let it drop that you're a GP as well, they might be coming to you and banging down your door a little bit. Who do you expect them to talk to? Is there a line of, I guess, is there a process?
Yeah. So because we're a larger company, we have EAPs. We have psychology services that our staff can anonymously, they can go and see or contact without us knowing as business owners, as leaders, as managers, which is really important. Having that psychological safety is incredibly important. But I also know that it was only up until recently that we had that. As a small business, not everyone can get access to EAP, but there are also services that are available in the community, such as Beyond Blue, Lifeline, lots of great community services that you can get access to as well.
And let me add in here as well, because we've had Beyond Blue a number of times on the program, and they offer a service for people who want to reach out and help others. So it's not necessarily if you're experiencing difficulty, but in the advisor space or as a co-worker, if you need to have those conversations, there's some great resources on how to do that as well.
And you're so right. Like if I can share with you from a training perspective, because of the different types of training we offer, if I went and gave you a course on how to deal with mental health yourself, you wouldn't want to deal with it. You wouldn't really want to do the course. But if I gave you a course on how to help your workmates with it, the uptake is quite significant. So mental health first aid, as an example, is one of the most powerful tools that a person can do to make sure that they're able to look after themselves but also their workmates as well.
Yeah, it's so important to have those, I guess, conversation starters. But I love that green, orange, red process that you've got as well. You don't have to explain everything in great detail. You can simply say, yeah, I'm having an orange day, and that might enable someone to go, okay, well, you know, what can we do to make it green? It sounds a bit, I guess, simplistic, but we all understand green, orange and red, so it's a great way of breaking down those barriers.
That's it.
So tell me a little bit more about where you see your company progressing, and is this scenario that we find ourselves in, is that going to be a barrier to your growth? What advice would you give to small business about breaking down those barriers?
Look, I think, you know, this quote has been used so many times when, you know, Winston Churchill's never waste a crisis or whatever it might be. But one of the things it really comes back to is that Australia, you know, if I can break it down to a few things, if you're looking to export, For Australia, the tyranny of distance has been such a massive issue, right? If you're looking to sell your products or services overseas, really hard to do. Today, it's more acceptable than ever for us to jump on a Zoom call or a Skype call or a Teams call and actually talk to someone on the other side of the planet. And so for me, if you're a business who's looking to sell overseas, this is a fantastic environment to do it because now it's acceptable for you not to have boots on the ground, to actually do it from your mothership at your home, wherever you are, and jump on a Zoom call and talk to someone on the other side of the world and sell them your product. So if I look at the other side of the coin and look at the opportunity, it's actually the fact that this acceleration of technology and remote engagement means that as an Australian company who's on the other side of the world to the key markets of Europe and the US, if you're looking to export, you can do business overseas right now and do it in your PJs, right? And actually sell to someone on the other side of the planet because it's more acceptable to do a Zoom call than it is to do a face-to-face meeting in a lot of circumstances. And I think that that's really important. You know, we're really good as a country at taking these opportunities and running with it. Mm. We've succeeded as a country despite being on the other side of the world. You know, and so as a result of that, I think there's some real opportunities there. We're going to see some of the biggest businesses I think Australia will have ever seen emerge out of the next decade because of what's happened.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be just techpreneurs either. We don't need to just pigeonhole that group and go, well, because they're used to being on remote and they're used to being online, that means they're going to succeed. But I think it's great that notion of just grabbing the opportunity and seeing it as the world opening up, not necessarily closing down.
As small businesses, we can move faster than large corporates. So we'll adapt to COVID faster than your large multinational ASX listed company will. We should use that to our advantage at this point in time because we can turn our little tugboat a lot faster than Titanic can.
It's a fantastic way to end the conversation today. Thank you so much for joining me here on Small Biz Matters, Vu. It's been really fascinating to hear not only your personal journey and the journey of your company and its fast-paced growth, but just instilling so much knowledge and education to my small business listeners about the importance of culture and the way to grow and the way to hang on and keep that communication channels going with your staff. How can people find out more about Go One?
Oh, look, please feel free to check us out at www.go1.com. That's G-O with the number one.com. But also at the end of the day, I think it's really important to talk to those other organizations like Beyond Blue because at the end of the day, we actually help those organizations distribute their training as well.
Fantastic. Look, thank you so much for joining us once again. If you've missed any of today's program or just joined us, you can catch up via smallbizmatters.com.au or iTunes or Spotify, wherever you ingest your podcasts. And if you subscribe, there's over 150 fantastic Small Biz Matters podcasts just like this one. Now stay with us because after the break, we're going to be joined by Leticia Andrack, who is an expert when it comes to the difference between the slow-moving giant corporates and the fast-paced small businesses who can turn on a dime. You're listening to Triple H 100.1 FM. We'll be back after this.